And welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, sleep sack progress, produce bags in the wild, and yet more yarn purchases. Hello and welcome to episode 62. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. I have the end of a cold this week, so I apologise for sounding a little bit heavy. It seems to be a recurring theme this year, unfortunately. I talked last week about the baby cocoon sack and cap I was planning to make for two family babies, one due in the spring next month and one due in the summer. I chose my colours, I screwed in my 4.5mm KnitPro Symphony interchangeables, and off I set. I also said last week, setting a lovely high bar for myself, that I was going to follow what the pattern said rather than picking and choosing, because when I made them last year, the year before, I picked and chose a little. I didn't do the elements I didn't like so much. I skirted around the things that I was finding difficult to do well. And so although it's still a baby cocoon sack and cap, it's not absolutely as the pattern dictates. But this time I was going to do it exactly what it said. I thought, you know, I'm another year and a bit more experienced, and I'll nail it this time. So I started off with the 6 rows of seed stitch, which the pattern stipulates, whereas last time I'd knitted a plain stocking stitch from the beginning, which gave a rolled edge. Now that's something that I just personally happen to like, but I thought, fine, I'm doing what the pattern says, 6 rows of seed stitch. Then I came to my first colour stripe. So I duly switched yarns, knitted my 3 rows of crocus, then switched yarns again and knitted 3 stripes of pearl in merlot. If you saw my Instagram story, you'll have some idea of what's coming. At some stage in these early rounds, I remembered about the colour jog. I didn't think about it from the beginning, which was frustrating because I had intended that that was something I was going to get right this time. I knew more or less what you had to do, but obviously I wanted to be sure, so I looked it up on Stacey Perry's Very Pink site. But I wondered how it worked when you're not only adding a new colour, but you're also switching between pearl and knit. I experimented a bit with this, but I couldn't make it look nice. I had no idea if you could even do it. I googled it, but I just couldn't find a result that was for that. I could find a million results that was for part of that, you know, just switching between colours or switching between knit and pearl. Could I find something about the colour jog switching between knit and pearl? No, I couldn't. If you know of a video or a written tutorial or something like that, please let me know, because I'd love to know what I'm actually meant to be doing. This is one of those situations where I really miss having somebody, a good friend or a granny or something like that, who really knows what she's doing or he's doing with knitting and could just show me or explain what to do. You can feel a bit alone at those moments. The internet's great, but it's only as good as your search terms. And so in the end I was getting frustrated because I couldn't make it look nice, and because of the experimenting it was all turning into a bit of a mess. Also, like an idiot, I had been anchoring my vertical floats at the same point because I've got 3 colours on the go. And last time when I made these, I kind of made a bit of a hash of it in that I had these loops of fabric and wriggly babies and loops of yarn, not a great combination. You get a toe caught, or I always remember a situation when my son was a couple of days old and I was putting him into a baby grow. And I said to my husband, oh gosh, you felt a bit like I got his thumb caught there, but I didn't. And my husband looked and he said, yes, you did. And poor wee lamb had his thumb almost completely bent back as I'd left it behind, as I'd put his hand through a sleeve. And it was fine. I'd hate anyone else to do something similar with a little finger or toe. So I thought, well, the simple thing to do is to anchor the floats as I go, which is what I should have done from the beginning. It's what anybody would do. But the first time I made this, it didn't occur to me. But I know perfectly well that you don't anchor your floats in the same place every time, because they'll show through. Lo and behold, it's exactly what was happening. The merlot, which was the darker of the two purple colours, was showing through against the cream. I knew I wouldn't be happy with the result of that, and also I had this laddering, and oh, it was all just such a mess. But I didn't want to do 600 stitches of seed stitch again. So there's sometimes stripes are your friend, and because of the clear distinction of where one row finished and the other started, I was able to put in a line. I'd already added, after the six rows of seed stitch, one round of knit in the same colour. That's not what the pattern says, but I had done it so that when I started the next colour, I wouldn't have the pearl bump colour clash sort of thing showing through. It may well be a design feature. I don't particularly like it myself. I don't know how you avoid it. I don't know if you can avoid it when you're adding in a new colour. Again, if anyone knows, please point me in the right direction. It was something I didn't want, so I just stuck in a round of plain knit, so that when I added my next colour as a knit round, I wouldn't have it. Boy, was I pleased with myself for remembering to do that. It was the one little beacon of hope in this whole sorry mess, really. So as I had this line of knit, I was able to just put in another circular needle on this plain line of knit, so I could strip right back to that. So there we go, that was something. So at the next attempt to knit my first stripe of crocus, I remembered the colour jog. Gold medal, please. But I was getting this laddering, which I mentioned briefly. I put your marker for the start of the round, and this laddering was happening. I find laddering so unpredictable. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's a nightmare, sometimes it doesn't happen, and I can't find what the variable is, but it was certainly happening this time. I wasn't too happy about it, but I tried to ignore it and carry on. But then, when I added my second stripe, the merlot, following the crocus, I had the colour show through again where the pearl and the knit met. As I say, that could be considered a design feature. I'm not crazy about it. And as already I had the laddering happening, I was just getting really fed up with the whole thing. On top of all of that, the whole thing was looking absolutely enormous. You could get a baby elephant in it, a 6-month-old or a pair of twins. So I went down a whole needle size to 3.5mm and also decided to go to all knit and no purl, which is what I did last time. I was aware, though, that you have three rows of purl, so you have six of cream, three of the first stripe of knit, and then three rounds of purl, and that must occur at least 12 times in the length of it. So I was aware that substituting all of those purls for knits would make the sleep sack longer. And I thought, maybe someone else has had an issue with this and they've written about it in a forum entry or a blog post or whatever. So I went and looked it up, but no one else seemed to be turning a hair over this. They had no issues with the pearl knit colour bump show through. They had no worries about colour jogs or the size of it, but the hat was considered very big, interestingly. So the sleep sack was a 100 stitch cast on, the hat was an 80 stitch cast on, and people had been bringing the hat down to 60 instead of 80. But it was only the hat that seemed to be coming in for any comment whatsoever. So I don't remember considering the sleep sack to be this big last time, and I had the same needles at the time, so I would have done it on the 4.5mm, so I don't know what's changed. I went and listened to my old episodes, because I was interested to see whether, because I can't really remember in great detail what I was thinking last time, except that clearly I wasn't entirely happy with how it was turning out, so I thought, I would go and listen to my old episodes. So I did. They're episode 4 and episode 5. I think episode 4 is baby knitting, and it remains to this day my most popular ever episode. That's obviously something many of us enjoy doing. I don't get much opportunity. That's why I'm grasping it with both hands at the moment. And I was wanting to know specifically what the problems were that I had faced with knitting stripes, and sort of almost at which point I had decided to throw in the towel. And I certainly went through a sort of process of learning, knitting things flat and then trying to seam them with the stripes meeting perfectly, taking the floats up the side or not, cutting the stripe colour at the end of each section of stripe, and, you know, weaving in all the ends. I must have been weaving in ends for Britain. But I don't think I said very much about the purl bump thing showing through. I had just decided to do it all knit, and that was probably why, but I won't rehash those two episodes here. But if you're interested in hearing any of that, those are episode 4 and episode 5. And I must stress that obviously, you know, the clue's in the number. They were very early on in podcasting, and I listen back to them and I cringe and I wince and all the rest of it. But there you go, you live and learn. Here we are. 56, 57 episodes, 58 episodes on, and like to think I've learned a thing or two. Anyway, in the end, I decided I just wasn't going to be able to make this project a success, and that I would do something else. So I settled on the Owly Sleep Sack by Teresa Cole. That's a free Ravelry download. This pattern has the huge advantage of being all knit, which, apart from meaning I don't have the issue of the purl bump show through, it also means I can do it with half an eye on something else. But there are a few patterns on Ravelry that are just in knit, that are baby sleep sacks. But what really sold me on this pattern are the cute cable owls round the top. They're very stylized, but the pattern recommends blocking to bring them out. But they're lovely, I really like them. And the pictures on the Ravelry page for the pattern, the pictures of all the babies tucked up in these pods and asleep, oh, they're really, really cute. So once I saw that, there was no contest, really. There's no requirement to knit this in stripes, but as I have the three colours, I have done it in big block colour stripes. I've deliberately put the darkest colour, the Merlot. This is the King Cole Recycled Cotton Aran. I've deliberately put that Merlot at the top. It's a nice dark purple, so it won't show, you know, stuff. And then I've gone a section of the crocus, and now I'm doing the cream at the foot. And I'm now nearly finished on the main part. I'm just probably three or four rounds from starting my decrease rounds. As I was looking at the pictures again of it this morning, I noticed that the way the foot is constructed is pretty much the same as on the Jackie's Produce bags. So not that that's difficult, it just means I've just done that very recently, which is just a happy state of affairs. But nonetheless, despite this great, and I've got the yarn and all the rest of it, I have had one setback. I'm feeling a wee bit fated with this whole business of producing a baby sleep sack. As I was knitting one of the cable rounds, bearing in mind I'm using 3.5mm needles with Aran, so that's quite a lot of stress. Aran is not really meant to be used on needles that small, but then I've always liked the smaller, tighter knit effect rather than a more open knit. And with cabling, you're often, you know, you're having to really hold your needles and flick your end round, and, or maybe that's just me. Anyway, one of my needles snapped. The interchangeable needle itself snapped off at the shank. Not for the first time, I must say. I just don't trust now thin needles in wood. So I did have some 3.5mm short tips. So I went to use those, and one of them doesn't screw on to the cable properly. I think thin needles that are wood or bamboo snapping is just possibly poor judgment on my part for having used such a thin needle out of such a potentially fragile material. But the not screwing in properly to the cables, I have to say I've had a few instances of that with KnitPro. It's nothing you can do about it. We're pretty good here at fettling things. We're always filing and heating up and soldering and all the rest of it to try and mend things. I mean, we ordered a new toaster recently. We ordered a new kettle. and it came with a toaster or something bizarre like that. The toaster didn't work properly, so my husband took it off into his office, laid hands on it for 2 minutes, and it works now. So, you know, we're quite good with all that stuff, but it's incredibly difficult with something tiny. If a screw thread is not working properly at that sort of 3 millimeters, there's very little you can do. So in the short term, I unearthed some fixed, very long Addy 3.5 millimeters, and actually I really like them. It's a nice smooth join. I'm very impressed with those Addies. I've come away from buying fixed needles because the interchangeables are just so versatile, but sometimes I wonder why. Actually, when I use something like this Addy fixed needle, it's just simple, straightforward, it works, they're nice needles. So if I'm looking to buy fixed again, I can't see why I wouldn't buy Addy. Anyway, so I put the work onto that straight away. Fortunately, it was my right needle that snapped, so I was able just to thread everything from my left needle onto the new fixed. And however, I have just ordered myself some 3.5 millimeter Knitpro Novas. Now, they're the metal ones. I know I'll bend them, but that doesn't really matter. I am unlikely to snap 3.5 millimeter metal needles. So this project, it's always like this though. I think I've come to accept with knitting. You know, here's me, I'm selling off my stash bit by bit, all the acrylic. By the way, if you're looking for any acrylic yarn, just look on my Ravelry trade or swap tab under yarns. But here's me, bought all this yarn for this baby sleep sack, and I've bought new needles, and I've got another wee thing to fess up in a minute as well. Anyway, so the project is now on these Addies, and I'm just going to finish on these Addies. I'll maybe use the new Knitpro Novas for the next one. I've also got the hat to do. I think I'm just going to do that in a block colour on the basis that I have enough of the merlot left, and I probably do for the hat. I'll certainly start it off, and if I find I've not got as much as I want, I can just do the same colour blocks as I did on the sleep pod. I'll just sort of do them in reverse. So that's fine. I'm not worried about that. Sadly, no need to buy more yarn for that. I can't afford this yarn. I don't know where the money's coming from, but we're still eating, so can't be too serious. So yes, poor me, I have to buy more yarn. I've been thinking, this always happens, I presume we're all pretty similar, when you, in your head, you've got two or three projects stacked up. As you're coming to the end of one, your mind is starting to move forward to the next one. So I've been thinking about the colours for the next pod, and because I'm not going to be doing now the baby cocoon sleep sack and cap in the stripes as I'd originally intended, I don't need three colours of yarn. But at the same time, I like a marl. I find that just a little bit of interest in the yarn as I'm knitting. And I had the idea the other night, just came to me out of nowhere, that I wanted to do red and white. I don't know why. It's nicely gender neutral. It's a nice cheerful colour. No one can object to red. So I have ordered... Da-da-da! What have I ordered? I've ordered from Wool Warehouse Sugar and Cream Twists, barn board twists. I have ordered three of those, and while I was there I needed a new cable needle. We have these infuriating sofas where there's literally a gap straight down the middle, and the number of things that have dropped down there, including my cable needle. Every now and again we move the sofa out and we harvest everything that's gone under there, and there's always a good handful of stitch markers. But I need another cable needle. I've been using old double pointed needles, which is fine, but I'd really like a proper needle again. So I have heard of Sugar and Cream as a brand. I've never used it before. I haven't gone and looked it up on Ravelry because I don't want to know if it's a nightmare to knit with, because it's exactly the sort of colour that I had in mind, and I think for a summer baby as well. That'd be, I think it looks like red with a little bit of yellow and then a white, and I think that'll just be a nice sort of candyish summer colour. So I've bought three of those, which will give me much more than I need. Oh, Quel Dommage. But as I'm making produce bags in sort of vast quantities at the moment, I can always do something like that. I never have much trouble using up leftover Aran. I seem to have lots of projects that call for a bit of leftover Aran, so that's fine. And the cable needles I've bought are... I'm struggling a wee bit with this cold. They are Knit Pro, and they're in quite bright colours. I've had enough of boring grey cable needles, so there you go. That will jazz up what I'm doing a little bit. Today in the UK, Sunday, March the 11th, is Mother's Day. It's a little bit strange here today. My husband is off away seeing his mother. My daughter is working all day. Well, as a mum, you want good things for your child, and she was so much in demand to work today that her boss actually offered to come and get her and bring her home again because my husband's off with the car. So that's great. I'm delighted for her that the place that she works values her so highly. And my son is just sort of amusing himself making Lego models. So I've had a lot of time to do things for myself today, which is actually really secretly what I think lots of mums would like on Mother's Day. So I'm not complaining at all. But it means that I am giving things to my mother, who I'm seeing in a couple of hours' time. She has a birthday quite close to Mother's Day, and the two things I've made recently, if you've listened to the pod before, you'll know, I've made her a hot water bottle cover, and the thing I'm particularly pleased about with that is the Debbie Bliss Cashmerino, this beautiful yarn. I've talked about that in previous episodes. And the other thing I've made her is a produce bag. Now, I've been sort of round the houses a little bit on these produce bags. Again, if you listen to previous episodes, I think there's one actually even titled Produce Bags. You'll find my burblings about that. What I've ended up doing is giving her one. I made her two, but I've given her one because one that I made, it's for an Aran. The pattern's for an Aran or a worsted, basically a 10-ply. And I knitted with two strands of 5-ply. And for one of them, I used a purple and a silver together. But actually, I didn't like the effect. Having thought, oh, this would be great, this would be a bit of a laugh, you know, why not have a silly glamorous produce bag, when it came to it, I actually didn't like it, so I'm using that one for myself. So I'm giving my mum just the plain sort of lilac-y one, and it's rather nice actually. There's a picture of it on my Instagram, and obviously I'll link to the project in the show notes. The reason I have decided to give her that for Mother's Day and give her the hot water bottle for her birthday is that to the uninitiated, the produce bag looks like a hat, and I'm not seeing my mum on her birthday. In fact, she and my dad are away, so I know that if I give her that when they're away, my father will put it on his head and he will say, oh, she's made you a hat. And while there's nothing wrong with that, I would actually quite like to be there to point out that it's not a hat, it's a produce bag. I used one myself the other day. I've had one, the one that I'm not going to be giving her, has been sitting around in my office for about 2 weeks. Finally remembered to put it in with the shopping bags the other day. Took it into the shop with me and chose all loose apples. Got absolutely fleeced in the process. When I came to pay for them, I had originally intended to go to a self-service till, take them all out and weigh them all myself and all the rest of it, but I had something in my trolley, I can't remember what it was, it was paracetamol or a bottle of wine or something like that, and I knew that I couldn't go through the self-service till with it without having to stop and wave my arms in the air and someone come over, and really, what's the point? Kind of, for me, that just makes it totally pointless going to a self-service till if you have to wait for them to come over and you wave their magic card. So we just went to an ordinary till. It was quiet anyway, so it wasn't a problem. But I forgot that I'd piled this bag with apples, and when it came to when the woman took that and sort of looked at it and took everything out one by one and gave me a bit of a look, and I said, oh, sorry, I was intending to go to the self-service till. I don't think she was hugely in sympathy with my flag waving for trying to use a bit less plastic, but there you go. But I can say they really nicely fit 6 or 8 apples, and I'm really pleased with them actually. I went to Knit and Natter, was it last week or the week before? It's all blurring at the moment. And my mum had arranged a sort of special event that was going to be teaching people some basic skills, such as sewing on a button or catching up a hem. I think it's a great idea. Unfortunately, I think it wasn't advertised in the places where people who might need or benefit from knowing those skills were likely to have seen that it was on. So we didn't have much trade, but in the spirit of it, I took along some things that I needed to do. I'd had a camisole sitting in my knitting bag for absolutely ages, months. All it needed was one of the straps reattaching at the back, but I can take a stupid amount of time to get around to that. I also took my husband's socks, and I darned those, and that was a really great feeling. I was really pleased with myself for getting that done. And then as they came through the wash, and I was handling them, putting them together, I don't normally, any other pair of socks that's not handmade, I fold the tops down over themselves to pair them. But I don't do that with the handmade socks, because I think it stretches out the cuff, which I don't want to do. So I just sort of sit them on each other, just sort of, I put them together but not actually physically attached. And I noticed that one of the socks that I'd darned, I say so beautifully, that's really up for, that's in the eye of the beholder, but I noticed it's getting a hole in the sole. So one of the socks, plus another pair of socks, has had to go into my mending bag. So unfortunately, that was one step forward, two steps back, actually. So I will at some point make myself get round to that. I might do it at Knit and Natter, because it's the kind of thing you can do without having to count or anything like that, so I can hold a conversation and do it at the same time. Also, once I'm there and I've got no other projects with me, I've really got no choice but to get on with it. And I must admit, I do rather put off that sort of thing. Lastly, I would like to tell you about a book that I have seen on Instagram. And sadly, I think for all the hints that I have dropped in the last wee while, I have no expectation of receiving this for Mother's Day. We're doing all that stuff later. I saw on the Instagram stream of a lady called Andrea Rangel. Her username on Instagram is Andrea Rangel Knits. So that's Andrea Range L Knits. And she, I had never heard of her before, I must confess, but then I'm not very into the knitting world. I don't know who everybody is and what's going on. I don't go to the festivals and keep up with all the new projects and competitions and knit-alongs and things like that. Not that I wouldn't like to, it's just I just don't. So I'd not seen this before, but she has written a few books, and this particular one is called The Alternate Alterknit Stitch Dictionary, 200 Modern Knitting Motifs, and it looks absolutely fantastic. It's small little patterns, and on her Ravelry picture, the ones that she's put, there are some tiny sheep, there are toadstools, there are bicycles, leaves, little flowers, skull and crossbones. They just look, I'd absolutely love this book. The irony is, I might drop some hints for Easter, because to be honest, by the time three or four people have bought you an Easter egg, which I don't particularly want, I could have had this. I'd far rather have this. So once we're all out the other side of Mother's Day, I might just put my cards on the table on that one. But it's absolutely fantastic. And unlike another book that I wanted that was written by someone in North America, I think this lady's Canadian, it's available in the UK. So that's fantastic. You can buy it from Amazon. I know independent bookshops are fantastic, but you know, I live a long way from anywhere and Amazon often does the job. So it's available through there. I think it's something like $12.99. And it just looks absolutely mouth-watering. These patterns are fantastic. And something I like to do is, such as the sleep sacks, you've got a basic size. You know how many to cast on. You know more or less how many rounds to do. And then from that point onwards, you can start making some of your own stylistic choices. You know, they go beyond colour, or perhaps whether you're using purl or knit, because you know, that does affect the sizing. You can stick your own decorative motifs in quite often in many projects, and I love that. So that looks really, really great. And if I do get a copy of it for Easter, I will be reviewing it later on, but we'll see. I may be sticking my neck out a bit there. Well, I hope you've had a good 2-3 weeks knitting, however long it's been since I last talked at you for half an hour. I hope you're having a lovely Mother's Day if you're in the UK. Mine's a little unorthodox, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't enjoying it. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye!